So, on our last few weeks, we've been talking about different ways to bring unity. And one of those, as far as a church, one of the things we encourage is the importance of sharing our faith. In Romans chapter 10, verse 14, it says, "How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone telling them?" Well, who is that someone that's going to tell them? It's us. That is ours. We're you know, and sometimes we get this perception that we got to come up with this real fancy sales pitch of trying to tell somebody about Jesus. You know, all we need to do is tell him who he is to us, what he's done for me. That's all we need to do. The Holy Spirit can take that and do so much wonders. And I'm going to ask Steve Pruitt is going to come and share a story. And as he's coming, I'm going to share this other verse. It's in Romans 1:16. It says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes." So it's the word of God, the testimony of God. It's not necessarily just us. It's the Holy Spirit working. So Steve's got a short story here he's going to tell us about a situation that he got to share the gospel.
November 1st, Linda was live flighted to Riverside Hospital. They found out she had 3 aneurysms, and they fixed 2. She's still got 1 to go, but God's got her in her hands. Fast forward to November 16th, Linda received a miracle. But one of the greatest miracles is salvation. Fast forward to November 16th, I have been driving to Riverside Hospital twice a day, and we live 45 miles away. So 4 hours on the road, and I was trying to spend 7 to 8 hours with Linda. So November 16th, about 10 in the morning, I was feeling overwhelmed. I needed to get things done at home. I didn't have time to do them with traveling and being with Linda. So I told her to try to get some rest, and I was going to go home and get some things done that needed to be done. Linda was fighting her battle for life, and I was fighting with her, but yet I was fighting a separate battle to keep the household running. I told her to get some rest, and I was going to leave. And I was almost running to my truck, and because my mind was focused on what I needed to do. Proverbs 16:9 says, "In his heart, a man plans his course, but God determines his steps." I was only thinking about what I wanted to do and what I had to do. So I was almost to my truck, and this man comes out from between 2 vehicles, and we almost collided with one another. And I had to sidestep him to miss from running into him. And I looked at him. He had a hospital gown on, a light jacket, and he was smoking a cigarette. And I said, "Oh, excuse me, how are you doing?" Immediately, this man started pouring out all the problems he was having. He said, "I've been in this hospital 3 weeks. When I come in here, I weighed over 300 pounds, and now I'm down to 170. I might get to go home tomorrow, but I don't know. They need to build my strength up so I can have these surgeries with my stomach and digestive system." And he said, "My wife and I just moved up here from the South to take care of her parents. And her mother just passed away, and now we're wondering what to do with her dad, and here I am stuck in the hospital." And I listened to him, and I said, "His name was James Brown, and he was from Mansfield." And I said, "Oh, we're practically neighbors." And I said, "Can I pray with you, James, about all these situations?" He said, "I guess." And so I prayed with him the best I could, and we got done praying. And I said, "James, have you ever accepted Jesus into your life?" He said, "No, I've never done that." He said, "I've smoked and drank all my life." And immediately, I knew how he felt. Here I was, I connected with him. I was a guy, I shamed myself, I shamed my family, and I shamed God. Just like Connie shared, I made the choice. No one made me. I made the choice. But I knew how James felt. You felt like you've done so much wrong in your life, you can't be forgiven. But you can be.
That's right.
And I let him know God loves him. Yeah. I said he'll forgive you of anything. And I found that out by reading the Bible. I've gotten over my past, but it was good I could remember my past with James. Mm-hmm. And I said, James, do you want to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior? And he said, yes, I do. And so I asked him if he believed that Jesus died for him, and he said yes for his sins, and he said yes. And we prayed the sinner's prayer together, and he confessed his sin, and he accepted Christ.
Awesome.
And
thank you, Lord.
He said, boy, I feel like a great weight has been lifted off of my shoulders.
Amen.
And I said, yeah, I know how you feel, James. And I said, today the angels are rejoicing in heaven, and your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And he said, I'm going to tell my wife. And I said, good, James. I said, let all your family know.
That's right.
And he was waiting on his wife to come, in fact. That's why I was out in the parking lot. And by the way, if you ever go to Riverside Hospital on a nice day, you'll see patients lined up sitting outside, and it's a harvest field. But anyway, 4 days later, I look at obituaries every morning, and I see where James Brown from Mansfield passed away. And immediately, I was in shock, and I called the funeral home. I wanted to get information on him. He told me he had lived on Cook Road in Mansfield, and I wanted to find out if, you know, they wouldn't give me any information. But I watched his tribute video, and, you know, it showed a lot of bar scenes and drinking scenes in his house with a beer and stuff. And I knew it was James, and but it just goes to show you. In 2 Corinthians 6:2, God says, now is the day for salvation. Now is the accepted time. And in all of our situations, we should all look for God first, and then he'll direct our steps. Mm-hmm. I wasn't looking for God to do anything with me that day. I had my own agenda, but he surprised me. And I'll tell you what, he can use any of us, no matter how young or old. And I accepted Christ back in Memorial Day weekend of 1999, and it'll be soon 18 years, and I've had the privilege of leading 8 people to Christ, the oldest being a 92-year-old man. And that's not many, but it's 8 people. And,
right.
And God loves us all, and we can all be used for God.
Amen. Thank you, Steve. I'm sure those 8 people greatly appreciate that. Every single person, thank you. Thank you, Steve. So it's important for us to just to share our faith, not take things for granted. I'm going to skip over some of this. This is a picture. I'm going to share a story here with you. So we've been talking about unity and how unity affects every person's life. And I'm sure all of you have been experienced some way where there's been disunity, whether it's in your marriage, whether it's in as a parent to a child, whether it's in your job, or it's at school, or it's your neighbors, friendships. We've all experienced that, and it's not fun. And so unity affects, we experience in church. So unity affects every area of our life. And there was a story, this is by Johnny Blaze shared this. I have no idea who he is, but yes, this was. He said a professor one day was demonstrating to his students the power of an electromagnet. And what he did is he dumped a bunch of nails onto a table, and then underneath of it, he had the electromagnet wired up. and then he flipped the switch to turn on electricity. While these nails were just all over, and they were just random nails, stuff. Well, all of a sudden, they all came together. And then he was able actually to move those nails and make shapes and do all that kind of stuff. But as soon as he turned off the electricity, they just fell back. And the illustration he was using in that is how, for us, the power of the Holy Spirit can help bring us unity. In ourselves, it's hard to do. It's hard to make that happen. And when we have the Holy Spirit and have that power of Him, not only does it bring unity, it allows us, as Steve, to listen to God and to Him to move us and for us to affect what He wants us to do together for the kingdom. You know, yeah, we're here together at 1550 Richland Road, but we're connected to the kingdom of God all over the world. What's happening to our brothers and sisters in China and Ecuador and El Salvador and Russia is affecting us in some way. You know, I remember years ago, scientists was talking about our solar system and our galaxy. They said, you know, everything that happens out there, we don't even pay attention to it. It's not a big thing, but he says all of these things affect something else. And so our lives do affect. So the unity, the importance of unity in our life does affect what we do with it, affects others. This here is called a maglev train. And they have a few of these around the world. They want to build one between Washington, D.C. and Baltimore. And it basically works on, it just floats. And it's all based on magnets. And it can go up to like 300 miles an hour. It has to be on a track. Track is just cement. It just floats across there on these magnets. The thing is that this train wouldn't move at all if it wasn't for the fact of the power of the magnets, and it had to be on that track. God, as Steve shared, He has a track for each one of us. And when we're on that track, we can have that power, His power, to fulfill and to do what He desires for us. In Ephesians 4, it says that He gave leaders, apostles and pastors and prophets, evangelists, teachers, for this purpose, to help furnish and help the body of Christ to do this. It says, until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. So the purpose, there's somewhere that God, when we think about what's God doing in my life, unity is a big part of that. And so we say, well, what does unity look like? Well, in our membership, we've shared that there's different things we put down as far as what we describe as unity. And one is that we ourselves are living a godly life, defining godly as living as Jesus. Jesus is a great example. Learning, being in the Word, as Steve shared, having scriptures to share and having the Word in us. You know, we're married or we're just memorizing a book. What we're learning about is a person. The person. If you read this and it doesn't connect you to God, you're missing. There's a link that's missing there. The whole purpose of this is to connect us with Him and build that relationship and help us to know Him and the promises. We talked about walking in biblical love. You want a great goal for your life of love? 1 Corinthians 13:4-8. What is love? Patience, kindness. You talk about a track. There's a track as far as flowing in the power of God that we can stay on. I know a couple weeks ago I shared a video about Rick Hoyt, the young man who was paralyzed from birth and his father moving him. You know, and Grace later on shared with me, he says, you know, Dad, in some ways life paralyzes us. Life, the effects of life, our experiences can bring a paralysis to us, and we need the Father, we need the Holy Spirit to help bring us and help move us and keep us going on to fulfill our destiny. A couple of weeks ago, last week, Pastor Tom shared, did a great job, thank you, Pastor Tom, on reconciliation, refusing to gossip, and how there's our part, he shared Matthew 5:9 about God blesses those who work for peace and we're called children of God, and all this starts with God. And the last one on that list that we had as far as being unity has to do with those we see in leadership around us. And this is not just in church. This is in our families. This is in our job. And how we relate to them, this is our government, our community, how we relate to them affects our life. It affects unity. I don't know if you know who A.W. Tozer is. He's a pastor, teacher, author, really big part of Christian Missionary Alliance. He said, the Lord cannot fully bless a person until he has first conquered them. We must meet God's authority before we can establish his authority. So what he's basically saying there is we can have Jesus as our Savior, but is Jesus our Lord? And that's a constant process for myself. It's a choice every day. You know, Jesus said for us to take up our cross daily. Well, that's basically choosing, Jesus, I'm going to serve you today. And it's a conscious decision. There's a lot of things that want our focus every morning, all through the day, you know, all the time. And some of it, a lot of it, we don't ask for it. It demands, it's pulling at us. But even in the midst of that, it's a heart saying, Jesus, I'm choosing you. God, I'm choosing you. And that happens as a parent. It happens as a husband or a wife. It happens as an employee, employer. It happens as a student. All the time of looking and saying, God, what are you doing? I want to choose you. So in that, and there's a lot of input out there for decades to undermine our perspective of authority, of how we see authority, that we basically don't trust anybody anymore. I mean, movies and words and songs and news and everything constantly questioned. And, you know, I believe unhealthy authority should be exposed. There's no question about that. Let's expose, say, no, this is what is unhealthy, and this should not be going on. And I agree, there has to be a freedom, you know, to do that. I appreciate that in our nation, that we have that and may continue to have that. And so this is not a matter of saying don't recognize what's wrong, but it's also good to recognize what is healthy. And if you look through the scriptures, when we say what God perceived as healthy leadership, then he always looked at, God looked at leaders. And when he would talk about the leaders of Israel, he called them shepherds. He didn't call them just power positions. He didn't say, well, this is your power position. He called King David. He constantly talking about him shepherding people. If you read through the prophets, he reprimanded the kings and leaders and priests and all that because they were not good shepherds. They led their people astray. And so when we consider leadership, if we want an evaluation of what a healthy leader should look like, and I'm not sharing this so that then you can be frustrated with every leader that's around you and stuff. Pray for them. You know, pray for your leaders and stuff. But every leader should give some of this. Frank DiMaggio, I don't know if you know who Dr. Frank DiMaggio is. He's been training leaders in the body of Christ for years. Wrote a book called The Making of a Leader, which is an excellent, excellent book. And he was talking about the different benefits that we have from leaders. And one of those, he says, that a leader should provide protection. There should be a sense of protection. God as a leader, but even the leaders in our life, there should be a sense of protection. And one of those, if we look at Psalm 23, and Psalm 23, it rolls out, this is the description of what a shepherd is like. So in this, I see that this is what a leader should be bringing forth in some capacity. No leader is going to do all of this, but every leader should be doing some of this. And some of it is, he's saying, Psalm 23 says, the Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures, leads me beside quiet waters, refreshes my soul, guides me along the path for his namesake of righteousness. Though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil because they're with me. Your rod and staff comforts me. You prepare a table before me, in the presence of my enemies, anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Goodness and love will follow me. So these aspects are some of the aspects that this should be happening as a leader. If you want to be a leader, this is your perspective. Somehow, yes, we got, as a leader, you got things to do, but somehow this should be happening, the heart of helping people's life be better and helping ones have a sense of fulfillment, a sense of progression. Another thing that Jesus pointed out, he said that when he talked about leaders, he said, with us, Those who want to be leaders said, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. Whoever wants to be first must be your slave. So there's a whole principle in the kingdom of God of what leadership is. And it's looking at that. Yes, leaders could are to lead. And a lot of us here are leaders. You might not think yourself as leaders, but if you're serving, there's some sense that you're in leadership. Another thing that Frank DiMaggio pointed out as far as leading, the blessing of having leaders in your life is that living a long life. If you remember the first commandment with a promise, do you know what that is? Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment, so that you can live a long life. And that's both spiritually, physically. You might say, well, how do I honor somebody that isn't any of those things? It's horrible, leader. Well, there's a point of honoring the position, but that doesn't mean you don't recognize the character, lack of character. You know, I don't have to say, well, that person's a great person if they're a horrible person. But I can still somewhat honor that position, but also recognize there's a lot of flaws here. It's not being blind to things. And then we pray for them. We ask God, you know, to help them and intercede for them. Another thing, which as far as leaders is, and it says in Romans, in the book of Romans, that God put leaders, certain leaders, especially in government positions and authority, to bring some kind of protection and establishment in society. And as long as we live according to these societal rules and laws, then there shouldn't be any fear in our life. So some of you might recognize that happening when you've been driving. And you're driving along, and as long as you stay within what that sign says right there, you have the freedom of no fear. But once you start going above that a little bit, there's a perspective. Your perspective starts changing. You might start looking for those vehicles that have the little lights on top and seeing what's going on. And so, because this element of fear. And so he says we do that. And he says that's why we pay taxes. I don't have a problem with paying taxes to have the great nation we have. I do believe in being frugal and taking all the benefits you can and deductions you can and all that. But still, I don't have a problem with that, you know, with doing that. The last thing that he pointed out, and I will say that when we talk about abiding by laws, those are laws who don't contradict God's laws. There is a point when that has to stop, that we say, no, you know, I didn't even look. There's crazy laws out there. I don't even start getting into laws we've had in the United States that's just been nutso. You know, it's like that should have never been a law, or that was just violated God's law. So I'm not talking about that. The last one, as far as the benefits, is called living in spiritual advantage. And there's a sense when we are walking in God's authority, it does bring us an advantage spiritually. And one of the things that Frank DiMaggio pointed out, so you know, when you have a leader, it's good that you honestly talk to them, not about them. So especially in the kingdom, especially well, in society, there's so many talking about as opposed to. You know, in the church, it's one of those things that can undermine any church, any program, not just churches, any situation. If you get the talking, I always picture it, it's like a bunch of beavers chewing on a tree. You get enough bites out of it, pretty soon that tree's going to fall down. And if you start chewing enough on any organization, if there's enough bites taken out of it, pretty soon things are going to start falling down. And so it's important that we talk to, pray for them. Jesus, you know, leaders, there should be a sense of bringing freedom to our lives. You know, we talk about leaders and submit. I know our girls, when we pray for them, you know, for a husband, we always told them that believe that your husband should cause you to be free, not in bondage. There should be a sense of freedom and complement to your life. And that's really leaders. That's what we would expect should happen with leadership in your life. There's a story that Jesus, or in the book of Matthew, where this centurion, which was a Roman leader, came, and he had a sick servant, and he wanted Jesus to heal the servant, but he said, "You don't come to my house because I'm not worthy of that." He said, "Just say the word, because I know you have authority as a centurion." Centurion means that he was over like 50 to 100 Roman soldiers. And he says, "I know if I tell my soldiers to do something, they're going to do it." Of course, back then, if they didn't, they'd kill them, you know. So, but he said, "But I know that you have authority over sickness. So all you got to do is say, 'Be gone,' and it's gone." And that's what he told him. And that same authority, because of that, Jesus did that. The man was healed. But, you know, that same authority, Jesus gave it to us. In Matthew 28:19, he said, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me." Jesus said that. So, therefore, go and make disciples. And so, that commission, I'm going to ask if our musicians could come on back up. That commission has been given unto us. I'm sure most of us have went to school. How many of you have been to school of some kind? And you got some kind of either degree or certificate or something. And that teacher had authority to teach you. And the result of that is it gave you authority, whatever the certificate or thing, to go do something. Some kind of degree or some kind of whatever it was, to go do that. Well, that's basically what Jesus is saying. He says, "I have authority. I'm releasing that authority unto my people so that you, in turn, can go in that authority and make disciples." Make disciples. I know one of our missions here is come, grow, and go with us. But I like this saying of John Roberts. He's a church planter, works with churches all over the world. And I like what he said. He says, really, the goal of the church is to make outsiders insiders, insiders disciples, disciples ministers, and ministers missionaries. And that isn't for people saying you got to go to seminary. That's for every one of us. Every one of us, God has called to be a disciple, to be a minister, and to be a missionary wherever he sent us. So if we could stand. In Psalms, King David wrote this. It says, "How good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity." So we're going to welcome and ask the Holy Spirit just to help us walk in that authority, learning to have wisdom and with leaders, but also that we walk in the authority that he's given us to make disciples. So if you would just prepare your heart to receive from the Holy Spirit. Father, we just welcome you this day, that you would help us understand what healthy leadership is, Lord. And Lord, those areas in our life, whether it was from our parents, whether it's from a boss or a teacher or a coach or someone in our life who had demonstrated leadership in a wrong way toward us. Lord, first I ask you to help us forgive them. And Lord, that you would heal that perception in our heart, that we would see you in a right, healthy way, see leadership in a right, healthy way, and walk in that freedom. And Lord, we just welcome for each one of us this day, for the authority of you, as we go out from here this day, that we walk in authority, Lord, that you've given us, authority to make disciples, authority to demonstrate your kingdom and purpose in every area of our life, Lord, from loving our wife and our kids, from being a good employee to being a good student and being a boss and being a leader, God, that we would demonstrate your authority. We welcome that, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to ask if our personal ministry team, these ones are here to pray with you about whatever you like prayer for. If you've never made that commitment, as Steve shared with the man down there at Riverside, these ones could pray with you about that. If you've never been baptized in the Holy Spirit, have that power of the Holy Spirit, they can pray with you about that or anything else. But go in God's authority and be the body of Christ.